D4. Number 9, B.
So, when it brings forth a new system, then the question is always that each system has method, that individually each one can, again individually, each one can use that system in an individual way, and therefore gives the methods of that system, that the way how we individually really get are using that system in practical life, bringing forth individual forms, it bring forth individual results. Every result is different because it is individualized. System individualized through method brings forth other results, other forms, other demonstrations, so to say. And as we see that the form will vary and vary, just as you have the system of music, and the method to apply it is infinitely individual, and what comes out is always another form of music. I always talk about music, though I don't understand the first thing about music. But just the same, somehow it seems to be a wonderful way of illustrating these things. You see that no symphony is equal it's the same as another one, and yet they all rely on the system of music, but the method in which it is applied is individual, and so brings out a wonderful individual form. But all those results, all those infinite results and infinite forms, they all fit together in one great plan or in one great design. They are never outside of the one big subject. So again, in this way, Mrs. Eddy uses these scientific terms, and if we can see them in their scientific order, they naturally help us enormously to bring about really scientific discoveries. Yes, now, what I have been showing here is what I said, how that great law of the word, of the synonymous term, the word, how that great law precipitates itself in an ordered way to understanding, so that human understanding can follow a definite ordered law of creativity, because each one of us wants to be creative deep in his heart. Whatever he does, in whichever field he is, it is innate, so to say, in man that he wants to bring out something creative. And therefore, we should really see that creativeness is not just a talent which is given one out of a million, but that it is something which is scientific, which is therefore based on law, and therefore that each one, when he would know that law, could partake in that creative activity. It's therefore a question of ordering one's thought in understanding in that definite law of creativity. Now, since Mr. Dawley has shown these laws of creativity, and mostly it's centered round about the 30s of this century, when he brought out constantly that law of the 7 days of creation and pounded it on the students. At that time, the world began to re-echo this law of creativity. And now today, looking back over 30 years in the academic field, we can see that since then, the academic field has taken up the thought of finding out what are the laws of creativity, or what is the law of creativity. And since then, many, many academic people have investigated this very question, where they said, why are various people creative? Why are others not creative? If creativeness is a fact, then we should be able to analyze it so that we find its laws, so that each one, if he wants to use that law, can really partake in the creative act. And so, since then, we have quite a lot of these investigations. Some of the most important ones are those of Hutchison, an American, and another one is called Ott. We have one who is called Taylor, we have one who is called Young, and various others that have since then, independent of each other, mostly independent of each other, tried to investigate the law of creativity. Today, when we look back on it and see what they have found out, we see that they always show it in the very same order, in the sevenfold step order, which when we know the tones, when we hear the spiritual sense, we can see that they show the very same thing as we have here. The very same thing. Each one of them has that definite order of a sevenfold step. Recently, I gave a seminar in England, and we are talking about these things at length. And one of foremost architect that was sitting in it said, well, that's funny, because the association of the English architects have just made an investigation for the architects, how to proceed to be creative in their way. And he said, that's the very same thing what they have been telling us. And he gave us the sevenfold steps that the Association for English Architects have worked out. And so these incidents today are by the dozens. And they all bring forth now today what John Dorley has seen 30 years ago, what Mrs. Eddy has presented 100 years ago, what the prophets of old have presented 2,500 years ago. It's only now that things are focusing and are brought out in the world, because Mrs. Eddy said the world, the earth, will help the woman. It will be the world that will see these laws of creativity, because the Christian scientists don't want to see it. So here we have a wonderful point where we see that once an idea is ripe and an idea is seen clearly spiritually, that it will be re-echoed in the world from all corners of the world. I don't want to go into really these laws of creativity, because it would take hours and hours. But that's really not the purpose of this talk. What I want to show that spiritually here we have the most fundamental law of creativity that is conceivable. Another point, you see, I was that the synonymous term given in the word order are responsible for the impact they make on spiritual understanding, on the third degree or understanding, so as to bring to understanding the creative law to consciousness. But there is another field in human experience than understanding. There is that whole field of the material universe, the whole field of nature, which has no material, which has no human understanding. And therefore we can say, what is the law of creativity behind nature, behind evolution? And here I want to draw your attention again back to a little pamphlet I have written over 20 years ago, when actually I was then in America and going, being on a train from New York to St. Louis, was reading Dunuy's book on human destiny, where he tries to give an illustration of those steps which nature has made, those great steps of mutation which nature has made, but which natural science cannot explain according to natural laws. Therefore, steps which he said we must attribute to something outside of the material universe, namely to a spiritual principle. And he depicts the whole evolution of nature through seven great periods. And he sums it up towards the end of his book in these very seven steps. And when you read those seven steps, which he has seen as those which are against the laws of nature, and yet which have happened, then naturally we get the law of creativity, which is active in spite of matter. And the seven steps, I just want to recapitulate them quickly and not in detail, because you can read it in that little pamphlet. He shows that the first step, which one cannot explain, is really that step of mind or of creative ability, namely the sudden coming to birth of life. That there is no law, no material law, to explain how suddenly, after a billion of inorganic matter, suddenly there should come a moment when there is suddenly organic matter, the first living cell. The second great point was really what is called here unfoldment or order, namely that he could see that in the evolution of life, this first little cell began to diversify, bring forth completely new orders, completely new species, that the whole trend was towards further classification, further ordering and ordering, not remaining the same as it is, which goes completely against the second law of thermodynamics, which says there is entropy. In the material universe, there is one great tendency that everything goes back to a heat death, to a standstill, to a point where nothing happens anymore, neither chemically nor energetically, nor in any way. It's the law of entropy in the material universe, whereas in the universe of evolution, the very opposite happened, namely what today is so much called the neck entropy or anti-entropy or even ectropy, as we call it in Germany, namely that there is unfoldment and bringing forth of new orders and higher orders and higher orders and higher orders in being. The third step, which natural science could not explain, was typically that of spiritual understanding or identity, namely that suddenly out of organic matter sprang forth a brain thinking, that out of matter something mental came forth. Actually, what I said is not right. It didn't came forth from matter, but a third period came into evolution, namely that suddenly there is a brain. That brain can think. It can think independent now of matter. It makes itself free from matter. And so we have the formation of the brain and the freedom to think, where man finds its identity. He can think about himself, independent of his instincts. Then he showed a fourth principle, a fourth step of principle, namely where he shows that there came suddenly a time when man began to have ideas, definite ideas, putting up its own standard of ideas, spiritual values, moral values. He began to make a principle for himself to which he obeyed. He began to subject and obey to spiritual ideas. He did no more obey his instincts. And so we have that wonderful sense of principle, of the ruling, the government. Principle is usually symbolized also as government, that he began himself to be governed by ideas. He shows a fifth further development which cannot be explained on the basis of causality, therefore of the laws of the old classical Newton's theory, namely the law of spontaneity. Against the law of causality, he could see that new species, new ideas, new inventions would come up all over the world, independent of each other, at the same time. Therefore, giving a sense that there must be a law ruling, which shows that the law comes straight from the divine principle or the spiritual principle to every situation, independent of each other, giving, so to say, the law of spontaneity. It's something which we know very well, namely that practically every big invention is being made by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 8 people at the same time, independent of each other. I think you call them multiple discoveries. I don't know exactly the term you used when a discovery is being made by many at the same time, independent of each other. And then he shows truth or consciousness or form or health in as a sixth step which cannot be explained, namely the transformation of man, as he calls it, into a responsible, active individual. And you get the whole sense of that man, of consciousness, that man gathers now consciousness and begins to rule the world. It's the sixth day where man has dominion over the world and through his consciousness began to mold and form the world according to his ideas. And so finally he shows a seventh, which he shows as plan and design. He calls it the telefinalistic sense in evolution. He shows that the whole development through these six stages give us a sense that there must be a law at work right from the beginning, having right from the beginning the end purpose, the end goal programmed into the beginning, and that then the program is being manifested or executed for the one and only purpose of bringing the evolution to that aim. So in this way you can see what Dewey was showing, that independent of human thinking, independent on man, because the whole evolution started right long before man came on the scene and long before he really became to become conscious of his manhood in the sixth period, that he would show, therefore there must be a law at work to which even matter, inorganic matter, organic matter, mentality, ethics, moral, everything subjects itself to it. So that there is a law which rules in spite of inorganic and organic matter, in spite of ethics and moral ideas, just a spiritual law which has set an aim and is jolly well going to carry through that aim. So, in this way, you see, we see something very interesting. We see that the spiritual visionaries, like those who have symbolized the 7 days of creation, the Logos, by the word was everything made that was made, have presented the Logos really through those synonymous terms. We could therefore call that big divine Logos really the Logos creativity. The Logos creativity in a seven-step way to bring out creation. But we have seen too that understanding and the way human understanding is inspired goes through the very same ordered law, like in the third degree here, or like as John Dolly showed it here, that also human understanding is impelled to submit itself to the same order. And now third, we have seen that even the material universe or nature has to submit itself to that spiritual law, so that we have three great fields in which the same law is shown as creativity. And so we can see really that there is a hierarchy in that whole thing, namely that the Logos creativity shown through the synonymous terms, that the Logos creativity is impelling both fields, the fields of understanding, human consciousness, and the field of nature, and forces both to give way to this Logos creativity. so that the logos creativity impels the understanding creativity, we may call it so, and it impels, like in Dewey, the evolution creativity. This is really something terrific, but you know, the world knows it. The great thinkers, the great physicists and mathematicians, they know it. I recently read a book of a physicist, mathematician, and he's speaking about this, and he says the following thing. He says, the logos is the common reservoir. Is that rightly pronounced? Reservoir. Reservoir. Okay. The logos is the common reservoir of information. That would be this. In which nature, like in Dewey, and man, like understanding, participate. See, he sees that. He sees, and then he goes on and he says, they present the same structure of creativity. So the logos creativity presents the same structure of creativity as that creativity which we see in the structure of nature and in the structure of human understanding. So that we feel, as we go over these points, that we feel here we have found in Mrs. Eddy's definition of the word the highest law of creativity, which really brings forth a definite order. It does not act just at random, that law. It has a high order, and that high order has its hierarchies, that it is the order in everything. It's the order in the spiritual, in the logos. It's the order in the human, in understanding. It's the order in matter, in evolution. And so with this, really, the whole field of our experience is covered. And we feel that if we understand those seven synonymous terms in their order, word, order, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, that if we entertain that consciousness, we cannot help but that ordered consciousness impels itself upon everything, upon the human and the material, and therefore is ruling both the human and the material. So this is what I wanted to bring out as this law of creativity. I also ask another question there, which we can quickly take, namely, what is meant by the inverted word order? Therefore, what is meant by taking the word order not as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, but by love, truth, life, principle, soul, spirit, mind? Because when one reads the Bible and science and health, from time to time one encounters presentations of a subject which are written in that inverse order. And so we naturally had to ask ourselves, why is suddenly something presented in the opposite order? And we have to know why. It is always then when the standpoint from which we look out is love, fulfillment, the whole. When we go out from there, then naturally we go out from a different standpoint, namely from perfection, and are looking backward to those synonymous terms. Therefore, the inverted word order is used then when we handle evil within our consciousness. We handle evil within our consciousness not as a reality, but as a belief we have about those synonymous terms. And so we go out from love and see always that love is that highest sense of perfection and fulfillment, and therefore acknowledge within ourselves that therefore the opposite has no reality. And so Mr. Dolly will handle the question of evil through that reversed order. It is therefore acknowledging to oneself love. Love is fulfillment, therefore there is no state which cannot be fulfilled. Truth is fulfilled. Truth is the fulfilled sense of health and form and consciousness. Therefore, there is no opposite. There is no mortal consciousness. There is no disease. So always when you go out from the perfection and deny its opposite, it's really there when we use the inverse order. So you will go to life and see the perfection of life, that life is timeless, is deathless, is eternal. Therefore, we deny the opposite. Therefore, there is no death, there is no time, there is no lack, and so on. Or principle, go out from the perfection of principle. That principle is system, that principle is harmony. Therefore, there cannot be any inharmony. Principle is system, therefore there can be no disorder, no discord of any kind. Or you go to soul and see that soul is that great sinlessness of being, the changelessness of being, the untouchability of being, therefore there is no sin, no change. Or you go to spirit and see spirit in its completion, and we see spirit is the only substance, the only reality, therefore there is no other substance, no other reality. Can you hear what we do? Always to deny the opposite. Because we only can deny the opposite first when we have established the whole creative order to the point of love. So when we come to mind, we can see the fullness and perfection of mind as mind that is intelligence, law, which guides, which leads. It's therefore that which, where we know there is no, what is the counterfeit of law? Lawlessness, there is no lawlessness, there is no ignorance, there is no mortal mind, and so on. So can you see what the inverted order of the word wants to do? We can only use it when we first have established through the word order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, the complete sense of being, the fulfilled sense of being. And from that fulfilled sense of being, we can look backward and deny all the opposites of the others. Okay, I will make a break here before we go on.